You're listening to True Crime, True Story Network.
So grateful to God for doing what he's doing in my life today and all he is going to continue to do. I'm grateful that I have a platform where I can extend my personal experiences as it pertains to substance abuse, mental health issues, or just real life challenges. I'm a person who always wants to be transparent enough to reach other people. I've always had that passion since I was a kid. Yeah, so I'm hoping that whatever comes out of my mouth today, that you are blessed after this session. So what I wanted to touch base on today is commitment and consistency. Commitment and consistency. My spirit has been screaming that to me lately. Commitment and consistency. Because there has been moments where I have wanted to just give up. Or I have found myself, procrastinating. And procrastinating is part of the lower power's tactic to keep me from God's will. Let me say that again. Procrastination is a tactic from the lower power, who I like to call the enemy, what society calls the devil, to try to keep me from God's will, for my life. And I'm aware of that, and now, due to me being aware, I can do something about it. Because I can't stand when, I know that I could do better, but I'm allowing the enemy to get one up on me. I could use a lot of excuses as to why I'm not doing this, or, right now I can't do that. Now I do have some limitations. I do have an autoimmune condition that kind of slows me down a little bit. But amazingly, I have been pushing through. So as a result of that, when I want to make excuses for myself as to why I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, it's too hard, I think about, the result of my hard work. Which happens because of my commitment and my consistency. In order for me to continue to prosper in life, no matter what the challenge is, I have to be committed and consistent. Committed and consistent. And those days that I feel like I can't make it, I have to compare myself to myself, and that just gives me motivation enough, because I come from active addiction. I come from a place where I got high all day. I just was not available to myself. You know, another tactic that the enemy used to keep me from God's will was crack cocaine use. Crack cocaine use. You know, and I indulged in that frequently because I didn't realize that I had the disease of addiction. You know, I just thought that I failed morally. Like I was just a failure, you know. But something inside told me, which I now know is, which now I'm aware of, was my discernment. See, despite me, you know, being in a dark place, you know, allowing the drugs to use me, because that's what it did, right? The spirit was still alive and well in me. And it let me know, like, hey, listen, this too shall pass. This is not what God's plan is for you. You know, so I always knew to fight because I kept hearing that discerning spirit say, don't give up. You know, there was a couple times I thought of suicide, you know, because my mental health and my substance abuse usage had gotten so bad. And here I am standing with three small children, none of the fathers around, you know, and I'm being the best mother that I know how to be, you know, but I have mental health issues and I have substance abuse issues. Bad combination. So, and I remember at one point in time, I had asked God, I said, God, just take me. I can't do this anymore. And I remember that voice saying to me, you can't give up. God has so much more for you. You cannot give up, you know? And, you know, I think after that prayer, I thought I was crazy or something. Anytime you get on your knees and ask God, can he take your life? But that's how miserable and unhappy and depressed I was, you know. Well, let me just say today, you know, I found a reason to live again. You know, I found a reason to live again, you know, once I put the drugs down as a result of treatment, as a result of my daughter passing away and that being a motivation that which got me in touch with, you know, I don't want to just give up on myself, you know, because when my kid passed away at the age of 16, I'm like, you know, what gives you a right to just give up on yourself like that? Here, this kid didn't even make it through high school, but you're here still alive and well. Yes, you have an addiction problem, but you can go get treatment and get it together and allow God to do what it is that he needs to do in your life. And that's what I did, you know. And so I have been a vision of hope for many people. You know, I am very proud of myself. It amazes me sometimes, you know, when I look at how far I've come and all the things that I could use as an excuse to just give up on myself. You know, one thing about my recovery journey is that I'm not alone. You know, prior to my recovery journey, I felt alone. You know, I felt lost. I felt damaged. I felt confused, you know, broken. You know, and I would go to church and stuff like that. I just felt like if I could just hear God's name, or I can just hear the pastor, you know, tell me something good, speak to my spirit, that, you know, the addiction would just stop. And no, it didn't happen like that, because I still got high right after church. So what happened was what I realized is that I had a deeper problem. I had a deeper problem called the disease of addiction, you know, and, you know, that disease affected me mentally, spiritually, and physically, man. You know, I just didn't even know, you know, I just didn't know. I just thought that I just can't stop. You know, why can't I stop? You know, because I want something out of life, you know. And now, you know, since I've educated myself on, you know, how addiction affects me, because I got almost 14 years clean, you know, no substances. I don't even smoke cigarettes. It's been like 12 years since I've even smoked a cigarette. But the disease of addiction still manifests itself in my life. Well, you probably would say, how, Mika? You know, you're not using substances today. Well, you know, the disease of addiction doesn't just manifest itself in substances in my life. The bottom line is it affects my thinking, my spirit, and my physical. You know, when I get caught up on them fixed ideas that only make sense to me, okay, which is probably going to cause self-destruction, that's part of my disease. You know, when I get caught up on selfishness and self-centeredness, where I think the world owes me something, or you know, is all about me, or you know, I want to engage or indulge in something that I know that is self-destructive, and it doesn't matter whether I harm myself or others, that's my disease, you know. And physically, you know, especially with the substances, once I get started, I can't stop. So basically, the bottom line is that, you know, this disease or condition, treacherous. No, and if it's not managed, it will take you out of here or have you suffering for the rest of your life. You know, so I've had to stay committed and consistent when it comes to my 12-step meetings, when it comes to me keeping in touch with my sponsor, when it comes to me being honest about where I am in my life at that given moment. You know, and then in my mind, where the disease lies, it says, don't tell them the truth. Stop telling people your business. No, I need to tell somebody my business. I need to tell somebody my business. You know, I don't got to give it to everybody. I don't got to give it to everybody. But I can give it to that person, that trusted person that you know that's going to listen to me and be a confidant to me. But I got to get this stuff off of me, you know. You know, every now and again some childhood stuff might come up, you know, that was traumatic for me. I can't hold on to that stuff, you know. I got to be able to tell somebody. So when I can't share my personal stuff on a group level, you know, because I might be afraid that somebody, may not do the right thing with it or try to use it against me, you know, later on, you know, to hurt me or something like that. I talk to my sponsor. I talk to my close-knit circle that I know that I can trust, but you better believe I'm getting it off of me. You know, it's not too much stuff that I really hold in. And you know what? That has been the key for me, which has really helped my mental health. I have been able to open my mouth and say that I'm hurting, or this person hurt my feelings, or I feel like I caused harm to somebody else, you know, or you know, I'm afraid, you know, to do something, you know, because I don't know what's on the other side of it, you know, or I need help, or I don't understand that, or I don't know. You know, because sometimes I can feel embarrassed, you know, because I might not know what a certain word may mean. Okay, well, look, co college degree and everything, but I just don't know everything. So what I do challenge myself to do, which is a commitment to myself, is to ask for help even when that voice tells me I don't need help. So if I see a word, if I come upon a word that I don't understand, I'm either looking it up, okay, or I'm asking somebody, hey, do you know what this means? You know, and initially on the inside, you know, a part of me says, don't ask them that. They're gonna think you stupid, you know. And I'm like, no, because the most dumbest question is the question that I don't ask. You know, and so yeah, you know, I don't mind asking for help these days. Closed mouth can't get fed, you know. And how many people know that we don't have to just eat physically, you know, to, you know, fulfill our physical bodies? We have a spirit that needs to be fed too. So, you know, when I'm asking for help, that means I'm surrendering myself and saying, hey, you know, in a humbling way, hey, can I get your help? You know, I need help with this or I need help with that. You know, sometimes my pride get in the way, you know, and I don't want to ask for help because I really don't want to hear the no. You know, let's be clear about that. I really don't want to hear the no. You know, and that's one of the things that keep me on my toes, because I really don't like to ask anybody for anything, you know, especially financially. You know, I work hard every day, you know, I ain't got a whole lot of money, but, you know, what I do have, you know, I'm able to, you know, take care of my home and take care of myself and the people in it, you know, keep the car going and stuff like that, you know, and so I'm content and I'm comfortable, and I always got something tucked away, you know, for a rainy day, you know, and they don't have to be a whole lot of money, you know, but it's a little something, you know, and I learned that along the way, you know, always tuck a little something away, because you just never know, you know. I just came up on an opportunity to transition from my current residence. I have been in this residence for about 8 years now, and I have been praying and praying and praying, you know, and asking God to please grant me a new home. You know, I need the extra space. You know, I'm raising my 9-year-old grandson. You know, grandson did not have his own space. You know, I needed a washer and dryer, you know, and I wanted something brand new. You know, and the people that I surround myself around, you know, has been a influence on me, and a positive influence on me. And, you know, a couple of them told me, well, Nika, you got to start speaking this stuff into existence. And so I said, okay, you know, let's see how this goes. So I remember, you know, being at home, preparing myself for work, and just randomly, I would say, you know, I'm going to get a new place, you know, it's going to have the space that I need, you know, I'm going to have my washer and dryer, you know, it's going to have some of the amenities that I would like, and, you know, apartments would reject me, you know, I got rejected a few times, you know, whether it was a credit issue or, you know, financially, you know, I just wasn't there. And so I remember just getting so frustrated, like, you know what, you know, God, you know, I'm pushing no matter what, you know, I know you see this, you know, and it's like, I just felt like that he was forsaking me. Was feeling like that he had forsaken me. Here I'm going into these hospitals, I'm feeding your people, meaning I am giving of my spirit to these people with mental health and substance abuse issues on a daily basis, where I hardly have enough energy for myself and the people in my own house once I get off of work and go home, you know. But my spirit kept saying, you know, God sees all of that, you know, he sees all of that and he's going to bless you. You just stay consistent and committed, and you make sure you keep showing up to work. You know, you continue to, you know, tuck a little something away, you know, when you get paid, and you just keep your head up and just keep the faith, you know. And one day I had an idea. I said, you know what? Let me work on my credit, because I know that there's an opportunity that's going to come around again. It's going to come around again, and I need to be in position because it's going to be my turn the next time. And so maybe like a month ago, I got contacted for a place. It had the space that I needed. It had the washer and dryer. It was brand new. It was in a really nice area. And the kids would have to transfer schools, which would be okay, you know. But the bottom line is, that's what I wanted, and that's what I desired. And so you know, I took my paperwork in, and you know, they told me that they would get back to me. And the whole time that I'm sitting and I'm waiting for this approval, I'm all over the place. My anxiety levels are to the roof. You know, my faith is wavering up and down. I'm like, okay, this is not going to happen. But let me tell you something about good people in your life. Good people will always lift you up. You know, when you have like decent people in your life who genuinely love and care about you, when they see you low, they gonna lift you up. And so that's what some of the people in my life were doing. They saw that I was getting low because my faith was just not where it needed to be, you know. And you know, but I had a little bit. I remained optimistic, and you know, I had a little bit of faith, and I got friends that speaking life into my life, you know, speaking life into my life. And they said, Nika, this is yours. This is yours. So I began to believe because they believed. How many people know that sometimes we get weary in our faith? Have you ever been weary in your faith? You know, and, you know, having those people in my life, you know, lifting me up in my low places was dope. You know, I'm like, wow, you know, they standing alongside of me, standing behind me, keeping me up, you know. And a part of me was like, yo, this is yours. This is yours. And so I got the approval. I got the place, right? Actually, I'll actually be moving in on my daughter's birthday that passed away. And I said, wow, look at the gift within the gift. So God is definitely in the blessing business, you know. But I had to stay committed and consistent even when I didn't want to, because it didn't look like it was going to happen. So you got to stay the course even when it looks like it's not happening. God not going to give it all to you at one time. You better have some people around you that's going to pray for you and lift you up when you in those low places, you know. And I called everybody up, man, that had been lifting me up, you know, when my faith was wavering. And I said, you know what, y'all, thank you. Thank you for speaking life into me. Thank y'all for praying for me. Thank y'all for encouraging me, keeping me encouraged, you know. And I do understand the importance of keeping myself encouraged. You know, and I think for me, keeping myself encouraged was me being optimistic, you know, remaining hopeful, you know, despite how I felt, you know. But so now, as you know, as a result of that, because that it was an experience, right? Even when I don't see something happening for me, it don't mean that it's not going to happen for me. You know, I realized that it's just my thinking that says it's not going to happen. And guess what? Even if I'm right and it doesn't happen in my time, oh, trust me, in God's time, it's going to happen. And we don't know when God's time is, but it seems like it's always the right time. I know for me, it's always the right time, you know. So I've noticed, like, in the last couple of months, you know, things have just been falling in place just naturally. But I got to be the willing participant, right, to do the work, to be committed and consistent. Commitment is not easy when you don't see benefit or the reward. But it's that inner faith and that inner strength and that discernment within that you have to listen to. You know, a lot of times that can be the loudest voice over my thinking that I'm going to pay attention to. Because I know that the Spirit of God lives within me, not outside of me. You know? So yes, you know, I realized that, you know, now, you know, that God has given me some things of my heart's desires, you know, some some things that I have not been willing to do in the past, I need to start doing. You know, my prayer life sucked. You know, now I need to start praying more. You know, just having a simple conversation with God, you know, and letting him know how I feel, you know, what my fears are, you know, what my goals are, you know, give me strength, you know, according to your will, give me some strength. Even if it don't work out my way, give me your strength to surrender, you know, to surrender and allow you to be God. And so that's what I want to learn to do. And that's not easy when you have had beef with God, because I've had beef with God. And that's another thing I'm learning to do. Be honest about how you feel about God. You know, don't let society convince you, oh, you can't question God. Oh, you can't be mad at God. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You know, he's going to, you know, love you despite of. You know, I know he's whispered to my heart, it's okay. Get it off. Get it off, daughter. I love you. You know, even especially when my daughter passed away at 16. Like, God, come on, for real? I had a good kid. And you allowed her to die even after I prayed to you to protect my children, knowing I'm in active addiction, God. So, yeah, I had beef with God because when I hit my knees, I was in a humbling place, right? In a humbling place, I'm believing in my prayer, right? And I just knew that he would take care of my kid, man. And my kid dies in a fight while I'm in active addiction, you know, but didn't know that her death was going to become the motivation that gave me life. Ooh-wee. I looked at my kid on that table, man, and listen, mommy's going to live for the both of us. Mommy's going to live for the both of us. And guess what? I did just that. So if you're a person that's struggling with addiction, mental health, and you feel like just throwing in the towel, don't. Go get the help you need. Stop telling yourself that you got this or you can do this by yourself or I don't need no help. That's where you keep messing up at, because you do need help. The disease wants to see you. The disease of addiction wants to see you suffer. It wants to back you in the corner, uppercut you, hit you all kinds of ways, and listen, you ain't got nothing to stand on. Because you have been close to the help. God works through people. You know, God works through people. So when you're pushing the people away, right, that's trying to help you, you in your way. Most of the time, if you're an addict, that's the disease of addiction. The disease of addiction, again, is in your thinking. No, and so, you know, like when my kid passed away, I had to surrender to my thinking. And I said, hey, you know, I'm ready for change. And it's a shame that, you know, it took that for me to, you know, get a grip, you know, on life. But you know what? Whatever it took to get me here, I got almost 14 years of clean time, right? My clean time is important to me, you know. If I'm going to continue to put substances in my body, I might as well chalk recovery away. You cannot recover if you are going to continue to cloud your mind with substances. It just don't work. It does not work. Now I realize that because I gave myself a chance, no, first God gave me the chance, but because I got out of my own way after the death of my child or the transition of my child, because we got to be careful what we tell ourselves too. Words have power. The transition of my kid went into rehab for the 15th time. That's a lot of time. In and out of rehab, in and out. But I knew it was the last one. I knew, you know, that I would come out a winner, man. Why? Because my commitment to myself and my consistency to stay in treatment, you know, When I got out of treatment, I made sure I went to 12-step meetings. I got a sponsor. And it was on from there. I have not turned back. You know, and just because I'm in a better place today and I might have some things and I might look like something, that don't mean that I'm better than anybody. No, I am still challenged with the disease of addiction. Okay. And part of the disease of addiction is obsession and compulsion. You know, as a result of that, you know, my other challenge has been food. You know, food and sugary snacks and stuff like that. Because that sugar, baby, that sugar is another lower power. That sugar will take you out of here. You know, it'll tell you, yeah, it tastes good and it feel good. Yeah, but that's another tactic of the enemy, that sugar. So if you indulging in it and often and frequent, I suggest you put that stuff down. That stuff caused a lot of inflammation in my body. You know, it caused autoimmune conditions in my body. You know, so my body doesn't respond well to sugar and dairy and all that kind of stuff. But when I'm going through feelings, I get a craving for sugar. You know, and I gotta pray. I gotta pray, or I gotta call somebody on the phone. You know, and say, man, I really want something sweet, but I really don't want to hurt myself. Because it's about self-love and self-care for me today. Every time I pick up something sweet, I am hurting myself. You know, I am hurting myself. And that's just not what I want to do. You know, so I have been committed and I have been consistent with no sugary snacks. I don't even buy it in my house any longer. You know, I even told the kids, listen, I'm going to buy more fruit than anything. I'm not saying that you can't have a snack, but it's going to be less of it in the house. You know, so I'm just like really proud of myself that, you know, I'm becoming aware of how the disease of addiction is attacking me. Because, look, again, almost 14 years clean, it's not even about the drug. The disease of addiction attacks me when it has something to do with anything that alters my mood or my mind. So it doesn't have to be a substance. Okay? It could be a big old cheesesteak with everything on it that I want. You know? But is the bread good for me? Is the processed meat good for me? You know? Is the cheese on it good for me, right? So the commitment and the consistency, right, of me not indulging is so important that I got to play the whole tape out and say, okay, go ahead and order the cheesesteak. Go ahead and order the cheesesteak with all the cheese and the onions and the lettuce, right? Ask yourself, is you willing to deal with the consequences after that? Yourself. Times is yes. And that's the insanity part of it. And most of the time it's like, no, I don't want to be in pain. You know, I get the swelling, you know, from the inflammation. I get the fatigue. I get the brain fog. So the cheesesteak was worth that. So one of the things that I'm aware of is that pain will motivate me. My own suffering will motivate me to do the right thing. You know, so I'm just grateful for awareness and grateful for what God is doing in my life. I'm grateful for this platform. You know, I know that I was able to help somebody, so I ain't going to say, oh, I hope I was able to help somebody, because I know I did. I know I helped myself. You know, I helped myself, you know. So yeah, just be good to yourself, just for the day, or just in a moment. How about the day might be too long? Let's just focus on the moment. Be good to you in the moment, you know. So we're going to wrap the session up, you know. I'm pretty sure your spirit and your mind was fed. So until next time, yeah. Thank you.
Tune in every week to True Crime True Story Network to get today's news on real life true crime.